Hey guys, welcome to The Big Bang Theory, a podcast where we talk about all the things that we really don't know much about. Either way, we're happy you're here and we hope you learn something new. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode. We're really excited about this one. We did not really plan this one. We kind of wrote some stuff down and we're just going to wing it. So I was scrolling Instagram, as I'm sure you guys do too, and I came across this post that had a few different tips on what's in a happy and fulfilling marriage. So we kind of took a few from those and we want to expand on them a little bit more.
In addition to that, we came across some really interesting research, if you will, around some statistics in marriage. And so this was actually taken from this year, and 50% of marriages, especially first-time marriages, end in a divorce. And then this researcher, it's a divorce researcher named Dana Adam Shapiro, concluded that of the 50 remaining percent that stay married, one-third are happy, another third are meh, meaning just bearable, and the other third are unhappy. So what that means is of the 50% of people that do not get divorced, only 17% of them are happy.
That's really, really sad. But it's true. I mean, if I think of the people that I know, I would say a lot of people are unhappy. Life is just too freaking short to be unhappy in your marriage.
Way too short. Well, I think the other thing that oftentimes doesn't get talked about is marriage should be a commitment to joy and bliss. And you hear this idea of happily ever after, but that requires work. But it also requires a dedication individually and collectively to doing the things that you need to do to ensure that that marriage stays a happy marriage.
So on today's episode, we have 10 tips that you guys can start doing, even if you aren't doing, or maybe you are doing them, but just continue to do them to help you have a more fulfilling and satisfying marriage. Because remember, it's not just about staying married for the kids. Like, you're with this person for the rest of your life. Don't you want to be happy?
Well, in addition to that, because oftentimes that's one of the excuses that people give for not getting a divorce when they are in an unhappy marriage is, oh, we're doing it for the kids. But I would question that and challenge that by saying, what are you showing your kids if you're just staying in an unhappy marriage? Like, you're setting a precedent for what they will look to in terms of the type of marriage they'll have. So hopefully these 10 tips will be a good start. As you mentioned, hon, many of you may already be doing them, but if you're not, hopefully we can take some of these tips and implement them, and, you know, with the result being, you know, an increase in happiness in the marriage.
Okay, so the first one is they are affectionate even outside of the bedroom. So what does that mean? This one is especially for you men out there. A lot of times when you show us physical affection, it's because you want something, and this is not what we are talking about. TJ, preach to the men.
Well, and I will admit, there was a point in time in our marriage where I was a little guilty of this, where my affection was more so in a sexual manner. But for me, I think what this really means, and what I've grown to learn it means, is little acts of affection. It could be a little hug. It could be a kiss on the forehead every once in a while. It could be holding hands, just those little things. Oftentimes throughout the day, we work together, and so we spend a lot of time together. But it's something as simple as walking by and just giving you a quick hug or a quick kiss. Just those little moments where it's just a free act of love and affection.
Yeah, I actually had a friend once, and I remember she ended up divorcing her husband, but she told me that it felt like she was living with a roommate. He would walk by her in the kitchen, and there wouldn't even be that much space for him to walk by, like through the little island space, and he wouldn't even rub her back or touch her shoulder or do anything. It felt like she was living there with a stranger. So these little acts of affection that you do for your spouse, when you walk by them and you kind of give them a little squeeze on the shoulder or holding hands while you're watching TV or whatever it is, like, those really add up. And those are, for a lot of women especially, it's really part of their love language and how they feel loved and appreciated.
Yeah, and I would add it's important for men too. Like, for me personally, I really, really appreciate that. We'll be working, and at times I act annoyed when you come in and show me these little acts of affection. You sometimes have a very painful way of doing it.
I like to pinch him and bite him.
but I do enjoy that, because it's like, it's just showing me like, she cares about me. You love me. And so, yeah, I think it's very important.
Okay, so the next one is they don't gossip about each other.
That's a big one. Big one.
I used to go out with a bunch of girlfriends back in the day, like over 10 years ago. And we'd always have these girls' nights. And I would come back and I swear I would have sex with TJ every single time because these girls, a lot of them, all they would do was talk crap about their husbands. Thankfully, all the ones who did that, they're divorced now. So I guess there was a reason for it. Not that, you know, venting to your girlfriends is one thing, but the way that they were talking about their husbands was really disheartening and sad. And I remember thinking, man, if your husbands heard the things you were saying, they would be so sad and embarrassed.
Well, I would add that the way that you speak about your spouse to others, especially when they're not around, frames the way that those people perceive your spouse. And so if you're gossiping, if you're speaking ill about your spouse, then those people are going to have a very negative perception of your spouse. And on top of that, that doesn't help the way you view your spouse either.
Agreed. And how would you like it if your husband or wife went out with their friends and they were talking about you in a negative way? You know, it's just not what anybody should be doing.
Yeah. And it's another thing, just to kind of hammer this point home. Oftentimes, you know, men sometimes have this stereotype of doing that, of going around with their buddies and drinking a beer, smoking a cigar, hanging out, and they talk and kind of, you know, air the dirty laundry of their married life or their wife. And it's something that might seem harmless on the surface, but if you really examine that, it causes a lot more harm. And so if you have an issue about with your spouse, talk about that with your spouse, but don't take that and gossip outside of your marriage to other people.
Yes, I agree.
The third thing, they continually do small things for each other.
So what this means is exactly what it is, but you think about your spouse throughout the day. Let's say you're going to Starbucks and you're grabbing a coffee for yourself. People in good, happy marriages typically will think, I'm at Starbucks. I wonder if my spouse would like something. Or you go to the grocery store and maybe their favorite donut is on sale that day or that time of year. You buy that donut because you think of them. So it's these small little gestures or let your spouse know you've been thinking about them throughout the day.
Yeah. Another thing that I've gotten in the habit of doing is it can be something as simple as we make the bed every morning and I'm not always the happiest about it. Bong has a certain way in which she likes the pillows laid out on the bed.
You gotta chop the pillows.
The bed has to look like it's a model home that's never been slept in before.
Amen.
And so, you know, I often make the bed for her as an act of love. And I've noticed that it's helped me I feel more responsible. Like,
it does make the room look nicer, like a sense of peace when you walk into a room. The bed is made. There's a mental aspect to why I do that besides being psycho.
For sure. I've definitely benefited from it. But where I was going with this is at nighttime, I also prepare the bed for her. And so I'll take the pillows off the bed, I'll fold the bedding over, and I put her pillows just the way she likes to lay. Even when we're not getting along, guys, we don't fight often, we don't have off nights, but even when we have those off nights where I might be annoyed with her, I still do it. And what I find is that small act also helps me remember how much I love her, even when there are those times that I might not want to love her as much.
I'm laughing so hard because there have been times where we're actually upset with each other and I'll come in to go to bed and my side of the bed is like made for me to go to bed. So my corner's always flipped over. I have one pillow on my head and then I have one pillow on the side. And even when he's mad at me, my side of the bed is ready for me to sleep in. And it's really, really sweet. And it actually, I'm like, oh, he may not like me right now, but he still loves me.
Yeah, that's, I think, what I meant to say. You summed it up well.
So number four is they celebrate in their partner's accomplishments. I would ask you, when your spouse or partner has something that just happened to them that's so amazing, are you the first person that they come and tell? Because that is a big sign. And if you are, congratulations, because you are their best friend. But are you celebrating these wins for your spouses, even if you don't care about them, even if it's not your thing or something that you've never even enjoyed or whatever? If they come to celebrate with you, are you celebrating with them?
That's a great point. For me, I found, you framed it really well. I think of it as my best friend, right? Your best friend goes off and does some. Oftentimes, like our kids are another example. When our kids go off and accomplish something big, we're going to be the first ones cheering them on and really helping them feel good. But oftentimes, we forget to do that with the spouse. And so, you know, with you, you know, in your early days when we started, you started Wild Hearts Home, I remember watching you as you would, as you started growing your Instagram following and started getting projects. And man, I was your biggest cheerleader. Nothing brought me more joy than seeing you happy and doing what you love to do. And what's interesting is when you do that, there's a synergistic effect on that. And by supporting your spouse, cheering them on, celebrating their wins, they reciprocate that onto you. And I feel because of the way that we celebrate each other's successes, it's also multiplied the successes that we've had individually as well as collectively as a marriage.
Yeah. It's something of like the abundance mentality, I think.
Okay. The fifth one is they stand together and refuse to let outsiders call the shots.
What does this mean to you?
To me, what this means is they don't allow people outside of their marriage to influence the way that they operate within the marriage.
Ooh, even inside the family, like your own kids.
True. Yeah. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I think it's really important to have people you go to for advice, to have those kinds of people. But I've heard far too many stories of husbands going to their mom, you know, who may or may not love the wife when they're having a rough time and complaining to the mom, then the mom influences the husband, then he goes back to the wife and vice versa. You hear the wives doing that. And realistically, anytime you're going to people outside of your partner and allowing them to influence what's going on in your marriage, you're setting yourself up potentially for failure.
Yeah, you have to remember it is a partnership with you and your spouse. You need to stand together. You make the choices that's best for your marriage. And of course, you can get advice from other people, friends, family that you trust and who support you. But at the end of the day, it is you two who decide what kind of a marriage you want.
Yeah. And I think I didn't hit this point very well, but stand together, meaning that you back each other up too. And I think this is huge, knowing that what decisions are made within our marriage, I support you 100% and you support me 100% regardless of what anyone outside of our marriage thinks about it.
Agreed. So the sixth one is they set aside time to regularly check in with each other. I would say this check-in needs to happen daily. I feel like a lot of times when you're married and you're in the grind, especially when you have young kids, it's like, okay, what's for dinner? Who's going to soccer? Who's going to dance? Who's helping with homework? But how often are you sitting down with your partner and saying, hey, how was your day really? Was there anything that you struggled with today? Can I help you with something? How are you feeling? Like, when was the last time you really asked them that or they told you that, right?
Yeah, I remember seeing a video and I can't remember who it was that said it, but they said, it's so common to ask people what they do for a living or what they're doing, but it's so uncommon to ask them, how are you doing? You know, like, how are you really doing? And I think that is important. And it doesn't need to be awkward, but just you know, to take that moment to check in and make sure everything's going well in their world.
I don't think it has to be awkward. I mean, maybe at first, if you haven't done it in so long, and it doesn't have to be one of those that's like, how are you doing really? It's just more like, hey, how was your day? And when they ask you that, you give a real response. Like, it was okay. It was kind of rough in the afternoon. Like, so-and-so had a meltdown, but I'm okay now. Or just be honest in your answers or don't just brush it off.
Yeah, I think that's great. You actually, what was it? I'm probably going to butcher it now, but we talked about this a couple weeks ago where it's like when your partner, when you ask how they're doing, they come home. An example, the husband's had a long day at work. It's been really stressful and he comes home.
I know exactly what you're saying. Sorry to interrupt. So there was a marriage researcher, I think his name is John Gottman. And I've read some of his stuff and it's fascinating. But basically, he studied a bunch of marriages. And ultimately, the ones who are happy, it came down to one thing. And it's called bids, B-I-D-S. And so when your partner places a bid, whether that's positive or negative, how you respond to the bid ultimately decides how well your relationship will be and if it will last. So for example, let's say TJ comes home from work and, you know, he goes, oh my gosh,
I'm money.
I know, but let's
say hell of a day.
My boss is such
my
a bitch.
Sucks.
No. So let's say TJ comes home from work. It's been a long day and he comes in and he sighs and he's like, oh, I am so tired. And my response is, Why are you tired? I'm the one who's been at home with the kids. That is an example of a bad job. Because rather than listening to his bid, his request for communication and connection, I blow him off. So it should be like, oh man, really? What happened? Why are you feeling so tired? And it could be positive or negative. It could be stuff like that. Or it could be something where I come home and I celebrate some kind of success. And rather than TJ saying, oh my gosh, that's so awesome, I knew you could do it, he'd be like, he would say something that
would one up you.
Yeah, one up me, or just like, oh, well, maybe you can try to do it faster next time, or whatever it is, right? And so these bids of connection are really, really telling in a marriage. And so next time you find yourself, your spouse or partner giving this little bid of connection, see the way that you react. Are you giving into the connection? Are you creating the connection, or are you cutting it off right there?
That's huge. The other thing I think you will find if you do that, you will find that once you've done that and you've handled that bid successfully, your partner will then ask you a similar question. Well, how was your day? And that will then give you the opportunity to where, yeah, if you've had a hard day at home with the kids, you can say that and he will be much more receptive.
Well, and he may not say, how was your day? It may not be so like A, B, A, B. But if you're listening to him, he's going to be listening to you. So number 7 is one that we have always been really good at since we were first married. And that is they keep dating and they keep date night as a sacred ritual. In fact, if we haven't gone on a date night in a couple of weeks, our kids are like, you guys haven't gone on a date night in a while. When are you going on a date night? They love when we go on date nights because then they can DoorDash food and eat whatever they want at home. But I love that our kids expect that from us. I want to be the good example of them when they're in a relationship in the future.
Yeah, I came across this really, they call it the 7-7-7 rule. And every 7 days you need to go on a date with your wife or your partner. Could be a lunch date, a dinner date, whatever. Every 7 weeks, you go on an overnighter. And then every 7 months, you try to do at least a weekend getaway where you get out and you have a chance to really just spend some quality time together. And I think for us, this has been so important because we make our marriage a priority. And we have to remember, first and foremost, we are a husband and wife. We're not mom and dad. Like, that is important. But I think the fact that we've kept these date nights and that we do make an honest effort to get out and go on vacation, to do all those things with each other, it's helped us be even better parents for our kids as well.
Now, some of you who have young kids, I know it's hard to maybe get a babysitter, but there are a lot of parents who they kind of do babysitting swaps. So just think about that. Or what you could even do too is just have a time of the week where you spend 1 to 2 hours just being with each other and spending time together, not having sex, just connecting on a different level. I also want to add in here that if you think that watching a TV show with your spouse sitting right next to you is considered quality time together, I have to disagree with that. The reason why is you can sit and watch a TV show with anyone. You can do that at the movie theaters with anyone and have no personal connection or conversation at all. And so I would just really say to think about how you're connecting with your spouse and if you actually are having conversations and connecting with them on a deeper level. TJ and I actually don't even watch TV at all. There's maybe every once in a while there will be a show that we'll want to watch together, but I'm too much of a busybody, so I don't like to do that. And TJ loves to read, so he'd rather read. And people always ask us, like, what the heck do you guys do? If you don't watch TV together, what do you do? And I don't even have the answer for that. Like, what do? We talk a lot.
We've started going on walks here and there. We go out. We also work on projects together, and I think that's another big part of it. One thing I wanted to add to that, though, as it relates to watching TV together, we are so addicted to screens in today's day. There have been times, I mean, almost I would say every time we go out to dinner, I look around in a restaurant, and it is more common than not to see at least one of, if not both people who are out on a date staring at a phone. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, look, you guys have all day to look at a phone, but when you're out with that person, put the damn phone down. Like, we're starting to lose human connection where we crave a device, something that's not even really real, and we put that and prioritize that above an actual real intimate physical connection. And so I think that's another thing that I would challenge is find those times, not even just on the date night, but those times during the day where your devices are put away, they're plugged in, and there's no TV screen on, and the two of you actually look each other in the eyeballs and have connection. All right, so number 8, when they argue, the goal is to come to a consensus, not a win.
But I always win. Just kidding. The point is to remember, you are on the same team. And actually, TJ and I had a really big disagreement the other day, which we'll have to do on another podcast episode. But I remember thinking in that conversation when I was hearing stuff that was kind of hurting my feelings, I was like, oh, wait, I love this guy. He is my husband. I want us to be happy. We are on the same team. So I'm not going to take it the way that I want to take it. I'm going to put myself in his shoes. So just happy couples, satisfied couples, remember that when they are arguing and when they're disagreeing and when the other person is being annoying, the point is that we are going to come to a compromise because we love each other. And it's not about me winning and you winning and one of us losing. If we do it right, both of us win.
Well, it's like the saying, you can win the war, but still lose the battle. And this whole idea of winning.
Wait, no, you mean win, lose the battle. Win the battle,
win
lose
the battle,
the war.
Lose the war. That's right. Yeah, I'm usually the one that's good at those things, and you're usually the one that says them wrong.
The war's no, bigger.
Right.
Yeah. You can win.
You can
win the battle, which is a smaller thing, and then lose the war, which would be like your marriage. I remember actually one of my friends telling me one time, she's saying how she hadn't had sex with her husband in like a couple months. And I was like, oh my gosh, girlfriend. And she was like, well, I don't want to have sex with him because this and this and this and this. And I said, okay. I almost just said her name. I said, okay, friend, do you want to be happy or do you want to be right?
That's it.
And she literally just paused. And I'm like, I'm serious. Like, do you want to be so right that your ego is going to come in the way of you having a happy marriage? You won't have sex with your husband because of these things that he may or may not have done on purpose or an accident, whatever it is, but you're going to hold off or withhold sex because you want to be the one who's right.
Well, and for someone to win or be right, that means the other person loses. And so right there, there's no way. So coming to a consensus, what does that look like? You know, when we have our conversations, it's really about expressing, here's what I'm feeling, here's what my thoughts are, and then you being able to say that, you know, and express your thoughts and your feelings, but us both really listening to each other, understanding each other, and understanding that the highest goal is to come to a resolution that will actually take our relationship and intimacy to a higher level than it was before we started the conversation.
And I will also say that in the moments of arguing or disagreements, like they may bug the hell out of you. You may need to leave the room and you may need some space for a few hours or whatever it is. But it's ultimately after feeling the emotion and stuff, you remember you are a team. So it's okay to be mad. It's okay to feel annoyed with them and to have your feelings hurt and those things. But at the end of the day, at the end of the conversation, you are remembering that you are a team and you want to be happy in your marriage, not just win the battle.
Agree.
So number 9 is they're intimate about everything.
So I have some thoughts around what this might mean, but while I stew on it a little bit more, hun, tell me what are your thoughts on this?
I think that being intimate is not just physical. It's not the way that we think about it, like having sex about everything. Being intimate, I think I'm mainly speaking to the men about this, is being able to let your spouse know all of you, not just your successes at work, but also your failures at work. I think a lot of husbands are afraid to tell their wives their vulnerabilities, like maybe their biggest fears, maybe all of those things that you keep inside, maybe things that you only tell your bros, but those things are the things that you should be telling your spouse. Like your spouse should be your best friend that you confide all those intimate details with.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. In fact, what I would say is for me in our relationship, when I've been able to come to you and be vulnerable with you about things and share things that I've struggled with, at first it was hard, but it has been so helpful for me in really feeling that support and feeling seen and heard by you. And so to your point, there's really not much to add to that, but I think as, you know, from a man's perspective, the ability to really share everything with your spouse about your life, your marriage, not to rehash what Bong said, but your vulnerabilities, your fears, your insecurities, because men, we have them. We have them, and not sharing them does not make us more manly. It takes incredible strength, I think, and humility to be able to share those parts of yourself that you want to keep locked up and hidden away from no one else to see. But that creates such an intense bond with your partner when you're willing to open that up and share those things with your partner.
Actually, you guys are about to hear us hash something out that we have been talking about for a while. So I feel like, TJ, you are not fully intimate with me with certain things, and maybe we'll have to get your opinion on it. But for me, honesty is a really crucial part of my personality, of friendships, being a parent, being a wife, whatever it is. Like, I'm so honest in my relationships that I expect that back. So when my friends tell me something, I tell TJ everything. He knows everything that's happening in my life, in my friend's life, whatever it is. But TJ has certain friends that will tell him things and then he doesn't tell me. And then I find out somehow, and it's kind of like hurts my feelings, and it has nothing to do with me. But also the things that I tell him about my friends have nothing to do with TJ, but I just tell him. So like, I don't know, that part of me that really values honesty kind of gets a little butthurt.
My perspective, I don't think that's being dishonest.
I'm not saying it's dishonest. It's not a blatant lie, but in my personality, withholding information is still not cool.
Yeah. And I love your personality, but your personality is also can be very rigid, which is your personality. That's neither good nor bad. So as an example, and this is not to justify anything, but I am put in positions at times due to relationships I have, friendships I have, and also, you know, other type of work that I do, to where people will come to me and share things with me in confidence. And when someone, especially a close friend of mine, comes to me and shares something with me and asks me to keep it confidential, if it doesn't have anything to do with you, I feel like I need to honor that person's ask of sharing something with me and ask me not to tell them or to tell anybody.
But they shouldn't be coming to you and asking that of you, knowing that you're married. Like, to me, that's disrespectful of our marriage. And this person, they know me, or these people know me. So it's not like it's some stranger coming to you or somebody that's only your friend, and they know how our relationship is. So for me, it's really disrespectful that they would tell you something and say, don't tell Bong.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, I see your perspective, and yeah, it's a tough one because I value all of my relationships. And if someone's going to come to me and feel like they want to entrust me and put their, you know, and come to me for certain things and then ask me to keep that between the two of us.
But why doesn't this person just tell their spouse or tell the therapist?
Well, it's not like it's just this person. I think this is—
Or these people.
This is a tough situation to be in, because I know we've talked about not gossiping. I know we've talked about, you know, being intimate and honest with each other. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong in this. All I'm saying is, as a general rule for me, I love people and I want to be the type of person that can be trusted by others. And so if someone comes to me and shares some information with me that is just about them, that has nothing to do with anybody else or with you or our marriage, no effect upon it whatsoever.
But it does affect it, because then you're keeping things.
But it's not something I'm keeping from you.
But that's how it feels to me. It feels to me like you're choosing other people over me. And I'm not like an insecure person. So when I feel this way, it's like, I don't think that people should put you in a position where there's things that you can't tell your spouse.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from. I definitely do. It's a tough one. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I will tell you everything. If a friend comes to me in confidence and shares something about their personal life that they would like to keep personal, I would like to honor that. But I agree with you. Like if you...
So it's like you'll honor your friend's choices, but you'll not honor my request.
No, it's but it has nothing to do with you. So I guess if it had something to do with you or affected our marriage, I look at that differently. Again, I'm open to feedback on this. I am open to changing my worldview on this. But as it stands today, that's how I feel.
I've just never had a friend come to me and tell me something and say, don't tell TJ. So I don't know how that feels. And if somebody did, I would say, I can't promise you that. I will probably tell TJ. That's just me. I'm super honest. Like I really value honesty. It's one of my like core beliefs. And so for me, like withholding information is dishonesty, but I guess that's not the way it is with everybody. Well, we can go to the next one now. I don't even want to read this next one. I'm so annoyed. I'm just going to say bye and let TJ finish this episode.
Would
by
you
himself.
Like me to read it?
Sure.
So this last one, make daily sacrifices for each other.
Oh, like sacrificing your friend's trust so that your wife can feel more comfortable in your honesty? Yeah.
Or just helping you reframe the way you see that perhaps. As it relates to this, this is super, super important. We sacrifice for what we love and we love what we sacrifice for. And, you know, for you religious folks out there, you know, you think of the life of Jesus and he lived a life of sacrifice. And why did he do it? Well, it's because he loves us, right? And this is one of those things. It's also one of those things that takes you out of your head and really allows you to connect to others. And I have found within our relationship and my relationship with kids and everyone, when I do those small little things, not only does it help me love that person for whom I'm making that sacrifice more, and I almost don't even like the word sacrifice because I feel like it has this connotation of like something that's hard or, you know, like,
I feel like we should change that
person.
To instead of making daily sacrifices for each other, it should be do a service.
Like acts of service or acts of love.
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Yeah.
Because it's stuff like that you don't want to do. Like TJ does the laundry and I hate doing the laundry. He does the laundry almost every single day, at least. Well, actually, you probably do a load every single day. But anyway, he does that not because he loves doing the laundry, but he does it because it helps me out and it helps out our family. And it's those little things that are, they just mean a lot, except for you will fold them, but you don't fold them the right way. And then you will fold them, but you won't put them away in my drawer.
Listen,
so you just leave piles and piles of laundry for me to put away
myself. Clothes. I will fold them. I do put your underwear and socks away because that's kind of hot.
No, you don't. You,
I put
no,
your underwear
you don't.
Away sometimes.
And you steal my socks. If I can't find my freaking socks, it's because they're in your freaking drawer, dude.
But you will put your clothes away.
Shut up. I'm just kidding. We actually don't say shut up to each other. I just did it to be funny. But yeah, and it also like from a woman's perspective, part of that act of service is having sex with your husband. Like sometimes, and I get it, like I'm 39 years old. We've been together for 20 years. So we've been having sex for 20 years. As a woman, like you don't always want to do it. Sometimes it does feel like doing a load of laundry, a load of dishes. But you do it because that's what your husband needs. And it's no different than TJ doing a load of laundry because that's what I need, right? We can go into that another day more deeply into that. But that's just an idea of like doing something that you may not love, but knowing that your spouse is going to love.
Yeah. And to that, what you will find is if you start to do those things, and we've talked about this in previous episodes, like loving without expectation, but when you start to do these small acts of service, you will find that your love for those people that you are doing these acts for will grow. And also, if you're having a bad day, like one of the best ways to get you out of your own head and out of your own drama is to go out and love somebody, go out and serve somebody.
We actually did not record that episode, the love without expectations, just so you know. So you talked about an episode we haven't recorded.
Well, then that's a future episode.
Yeah.
Did we not?
We did a long time ago, but I don't. We have to re-record it.
Okay. Well, keep your eyes open, folks, because we will be releasing a new episode.
Okay. So let's run through those 10 tips again real quick, and then we'll finish up the episode. So 1, they are affectionate even outside of the bedroom. 2, they don't gossip about each other. 3, they continually do small things for each other. 4, they celebrate in their partner's accomplishments. 5, they stand together and refuse to let outsiders call the shots.
6, they set aside time to regularly check in with each other. 7, they keep dating and keep date night as a sacred ritual. 8, when they argue, the goal is to come to a consensus, not win. 9, they're intimate about everything. And 10, they make daily sacrifices for each other.
All right, so as we wrap this up, we want you to know that these are just 10 of our favorite tips. These are not the only ones. This is not the end all be all.
Absolutely. So for the challenge of the week, what I would say is, as you think through this list of 10 things, if there were any that stood out to you in terms of being things that you guys could apply into your lives, the challenge would be to take them, note them down, and then take a specific action on implementing one of or many of these tips into your marriage. And then also hit us up on our Instagram page and let us know your thoughts, feedback, and how it's going for you.
And our Instagram is @TheBigBaneTheory. All right, guys, this wraps up this episode. We hope that you learned something new and that you found something valuable that you can apply to your marriage. And hopefully we didn't make you too uncomfortable when TJ and I had to have that a disagreement about how he keeps secrets from me.
Don't keep
Just
secrets
kidding.
From you.
All right, guys, we will see you next time. Bye.
See y'all.